Hey there. In 2018, my local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in Western New York sent me to a soul shop for church leaders training in Buffalo. The goal of the training was to help communities, churches, and individuals impacted by suicide. Since 2018, I have attended two other Soul Shop for Leaders workshops. This spring, I've been invited to become a trainer for Soul Shop. With the help of HSP listeners, I'll be attending this training in Little Rock, Arkansas at the end of April. With the help of this training, I'll be able to offer workshops for church leaders and youth workers to support efforts of suicide prevention and to help churches and individuals impacted by suicide. To contribute to the expenses of this training, go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman. For more information on the Soul Shop Movement, go to www.soulshopmovement.org. Thank you for your help in this important work in the church and the world. And if you contribute, please make a note that this is for Soul Shop training. Thank you for being a partner in faith-based suicide prevention to equip faith community leaders and congregations to minister to those impacted by suicide. Welcome to Holy Shenanigans. I'm your muse, Tara Lamont Eastman, a creative, a feminist, and a pastor. In this week's episode, we hear a Jesus story about the hard work of intimate relationships and learn how some dog biscuits from Father Bernard's are a blessing to humans as well as their four-footed friends. In this week's Jesus story from Mark 10, Jesus is questioned about divorce. The sticky question is asked by the Pharisees and is an attempt to trap Jesus. While we could go and spend a long while unpacking this debate over divorce in this lesson, it's important to first understand that marriage in Jesus' day was quite different than it is today. In Jesus' day, when a woman was given a letter of divorce, it could be done on a whim, over a cold meal or having done anything or nothing to cause her husband to call for this separation. If that letter was given, the woman was dismissed, literally abandoned, and in many cases left with nothing, no money, no resources, and not even her children. In Jesus' time, women were most unfortunately treated as property in what was their institution of marriage. The letters of divorce that the Pharisees were speaking of could be a way for men to trade out their wives on a whim and lead to great suffering and isolation for these women. And so Jesus responds to the Pharisees in this slippery debate about Moses and divorce with this: "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." If two married folks become one flesh, why would one flesh do itself harm? And so Jesus flips this question of convenience to one about commitment, healthy relationships, and true intimacy. Because how could they be so quick to cut off, to divorce, to harm their own selves? Jesus calls the Pharisees out on this cruel practice of divorce on a whim and challenges them to see the marriage relationship as sacred. Jesus calls the Pharisees and all of us to think about our relationships with one another with tenderness. And while today's lesson begins with the intimacy of marriage, I don't think our conversation should stop at this particular space. As Jesus speaks out against the hardness of heart that was leading to the abandonment of many women on the whim of their husbands, he moves on to the blessing of the little children and speaks up to the hardness of heart of his own disciples. They had tried to stop these children from seeing Jesus and being blessed by Jesus. Jesus stops that hard-hearted, bumpy road stuff in its tracks. The children were yet another group of especially vulnerable people in his day, and he removes the barriers of their blessing. He says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Jesus, in his response to the question about divorce and in the blessing of the children, lifts up the vulnerable, those people most at risk for harm or lack of resources. Jesus calls those with the resources to care for the little ones and to welcome them to the kingdom of God. All of this talk about blessing leads me to tell you about a ministry from my hometown called Father Bernard's Biscuits. Father Bernard's Blessed Biscuits is a partnership between the Mental Health Association in Chautauqua County and Jamestown's St. Luke's Episcopal Church. It is a new social enterprise and is created to support people in recovery as they return to work. This project that produces actual dog biscuits serves as a training ground for participants to put them on a successful career path by developing and reinforcing skills like resume building, interviewing, financial management, and communication. Technically, this enterprise is producing dog biscuits. Its real outcome will be getting people in recovery back into the workforce. Here with more about the blessing of Father Bernard's Biscuits is Father Luke Fodor.
Thanks, Tara, for having me on your podcast today. I can't think of a better place to talk about the Father Bernard's Blessed Biscuits, which is itself kind of a shenanigan. In fact, a holy shenanigan. There's no better place to talk about it than on this Holy Shenanigans podcast. The story of Father Bernard's Blessed Biscuits started several years ago, as I was beginning to think through different models for church. It struck me that there were so many folks who didn't feel connected to church, that they remembered the church from their Sunday school years, the church of the stern church ladies, the church of judgment, the church of guilt, the church of shame, and didn't understand that church was really about grace, that church was really about connection, that church was really about love. And then one Saturday, it hit me, plain as day. We were hosting a well-pet pop-up clinic in our church that was put on by the Humane Society. And as I watched each owner of their four-legged friend come in and leave, I saw the very emblem of love and connection, and also a means for the church to serve its community and to be a place for connection. It was at that moment that I began to think deeper about how the church could be more connective for those who felt disconnected from the church, and also those who maybe were dropping out of society, out of the workforce, or perhaps succumbed to internal or external barriers, like mental health disorder, or perhaps chaotic drug usage, and finding ways of creating real and true community. It was out of this context that Father Bernard's Blessed Biscuits came into being, as a means of creating a social enterprise to connect folks back to the workforce while we connected and celebrated the power of love and the power of connection. It's often said that the opposite of addiction is connection. I think we could also say the opposite of unhealth is healthy connection. And Father Bernard's is really about celebrating the connection that's possible as we find new ways of coming together, not only as a church, but as a community. Father Bernard's is really a partnership between the Mental Health Association of Chautauqua County and St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Jamestown, New York. The goal of this endeavor is to find ways of putting people back to work who have felt disconnected or maybe less self-worth because they're not engaged in something that takes them outside of themselves. I heard a friend recently describe God as the energy that generates, organizes, and disrupts. And for us, Father Bernard's Blessed Biscuits is just that, a product of God that's generating energy to create and generate a new way of being, while also serving as an organizing principle to bring and create community, while also disrupting typical and tired ways the church has continued to offer simple social service programs instead of really engaging with those that are marginalized. Father Bernard's is taking its place in an ecosystem of recovery and resurrection. The work that the gospel is engaged in isn't work that is based in the past, but one that calls to us from the future. The notion of resurrection is possible when we find ways of connecting with those who have been cast off and helping them raise themselves up by the power of God, that generative, organizing, and disruptive power that tears down old systems and engages with new ways of finding self-worth and determination, finding connection, finding healthy patterns to engage. So we're at this interesting point where we're just starting to launch this initiative. We've been talking about it for a couple years with a planning team from St. Luke's and also the Mental Health Association, where we've had veterinarians and other small business owners and employees of the Humane Society, employees at the Mental Health Association, attorneys, and other folks who feel this is perhaps a new way of doing church, a church program that thinks beyond the walls and thinks beyond its members and really is there to serve the community. We found that our partnership with the Mental Health Association continues to grow and morph. We've had now two annual Overdose Awareness Sundays at St. Luke's, and we've found that folks in our community recognize the church. Maybe they don't come, but they know that the church is there for them and is a safe place for them. And so as we continue to reimagine what church looks like in the future, I'm convinced that Father Bernard's will play a role in this. Right now, we cook the biscuits right in the church and package them in the church and then ship them out around the country. And we are hoping that as business grows, that we might expand beyond our church kitchen and begin to think about purchasing a building specifically for the cause. And maybe it'll be a building that actually houses the work of the Mental Health Association. And so that right a part of that recovery work is indeed economic development work, this sense that it's not just a place where you go to sort out your unhealthy lifestyles, but it's a place where you learn to find healthy patterns and economic opportunities to reconstruct and have your life resurrected. That's really what these blessed biscuits are, a reminder that God's blessing is inherent in any loving relationship, that God's blessing is inherent in every connection that we find. There is a new website called fatherbernards.com where you can participate in this connection and celebration of love, whether that's with your animals or perhaps, you know, sharing some biscuits with a loved friend of yours who has a dog. Join the mailing list at fatherbernards.com and be part of a movement that celebrates love and connection. And so again, Tara, I'm so delighted to be able to talk to you about this new way of doing church. We really hope that this model might inspire others as well to engage in their own holy shenanigans.
Thank you, Father Luke, MHA, and Father Bernard's Biscuits for lifting up the needs of blessing for all creatures, two-footed and four-footed. We've come to the part of the podcast where we have some questions to ask, and I bet you're curious about the difference between kingdom and kingdom. The kingdom of God is quite different than the kingdom of the world. That is why I emphasize the word kin instead of king in the word kingdom, like this: kingdom of God. By the grace and love of God, all of creation, all of humanity in all of its diversity is welcomed as kin, as family, and then empowered with grace and tenderness to love one another. This is the stuff of the kingdom of God. That's quite different from kingdoms, isn't it? So the question of the week is this: how do we shift from actions of separation and hard-heartedness to ones of tenderness, connection, and blessing? Sometimes blessing comes in the form of dog treats, and sometimes it comes in actions that bring connection. Either way, actions of blessing and connection are a long-standing tradition of the Christian faith. On October 3rd, the Church celebrates the feast of St. Francis of Assisi and commemorates the life of St. Francis. St. Francis was born in the 12th century, lived in Italy, and founded the Order of Friars Minor, the Women's Order of St. Clare, and the Third Order of St. Francis. St. Francis is remembered for his generosity to the poor, his willingness to minister to lepers, and for his love of animals and nature. He is the Catholic Church's patron saint of animals and the environment. A practice for St. Francis Day is the blessing of pets and animals. On this day, many people bring their pets to church to be blessed on this St. Francis feast day because of his love for animals. Did you know that you can pray and bless your animals and pets at home? You can offer a verbal blessing, and I'll give you an example in a moment, on your own, or ask at your local parish when they will offer a blessing of the animals. For those of you listening in Central New York, on Friday, October 1st at 6:30 p.m., I will be hosting a Blessing of the Animals prayer service in the parking lot of King of Kings Lutheran Church in Liverpool, New York. For more information, email us at holyshenaniganspodcast@gmail.com. Today's poem is a blessing for all living creatures and is in honor of St. Francis Day. Blessed are you, Lord God, maker of all living creatures. You called forth fish in the sea, birds in the air, and animals on the land. You inspired St. Francis to call all of them his brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless this pet. By the power of your love, enable it to live according to your plan. May we all praise you for your beauty in all creation. Blessed are you, Lord our God, in all your creatures. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week for Holy Shenanigans that surprise, encourage, redirect, and turn life upside down, all in the name of love. This is an unpredictable spiritual adventure that is always sacred, but never stuffy. Until next time, may the bumps in the road be smoothed out with tenderness, blessing, and some blessed biscuits.
Hey there, friends of Holy Shenanigans Podcast. I'm thrilled to share that I'll be recording live from the Wild Goose Festival this July 11 through 14. Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice and art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina, and I'd love for you to join me there. From engaging workshops to inspired panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars and let's be part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit www.wildgoosefestival.org. As one of my followers, use a discount code A-TLE24. That's A-TLE24. And you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. We will see you there at the Wild Goose Festival to connect, to build community, and to work for social justice.